Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. For this week's film guide, we're joined by David Jenkins, editor of Little White Lies magazine, and together we'll be discussing the following. We'll get stuck into a couple of documentaries, including Michael Moore's trip around Europe, to pinch some of the most favourable systems and policies in Where to Invade Next, and Italian director Gianfranco Rossi's depiction of migration on the Italian island of Lampedusa in Fire at Sea. Plus, we'll mull over the latest picture by a legendary Thai director called Cemetery of Splendor. All that coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. It gives me great pleasure to welcome David Jenkins to the studio today to discuss with us this interesting trio of films. Now, this week sees the UK release of the documentary Where to Invade Next. This is the latest offering from Michael Moore, known for Bowling for Columbine and Fahrenheit 9/11. Now, Moore's tackled capitalism, gun crime, and the American healthcare industry in the past. David, what's he getting to grips with here?
Well, it's a weird one because it seems like he maybe hasn't really found anything to get to grips with in a kind of overarching way and is doing lots of little things. I think with Michael Moore, his best films come when he's got a kind of very simple, tangible enemy. So like when his early films like Bowling for Columbine and Fahrenheit 9/11, he had the kind of George W. Bush regime that he could take aim at. And now his targets seem a little softer and a bit more nebulous.
Well, set us the premise for this documentary.
Well, I thought when I first saw it, I thought from the title it was going to be something about American, their kind of foreign policy and wars abroad. But actually, it's about Michael Moore himself traveling to Europe with a big American flag. And he travels to various places in continental Europe and hears about some of their great social policy ideas. So, you know, he goes to France and he hears about the great school meals they have. And he goes to Norway and hears about the prison system. And he goes to Finland and hears about the preschool system they have there. And he's basically looking for progressive ideas to take back to America.
Let's have a listen. This is a clip from Where to Invade Next.
Every year, we usually have like 30, 35 days of, holidays.
Paid holiday.
We are paid.
So wait, that's 5 days a week? That's 7 weeks.
Plus, we have the national holidays.
How many are there of those?
12 days.
So that's another week or two.
And when you get married, you have 15 days more.
Yeah. 15, wait a minute.
15.
When you get married, you have 15 days paid holiday?
To go on honeymoon.
To go on honeymoon.
Yes.
They pay for your honeymoon.
Yes.
They pay for your honeymoon.
Yes.
And that was a clip from Michael Moore's new documentary, Where to Invade Next. And we were just listening to the moment in the film where the Italians talk about their holiday system. Now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with benchmarking and picking up the best ideas from around the world. But is this all a bit rose-tinted?
Very, very much so. I think, you know, his tour is to look for all the best stuff. And that naturally means that he's ignoring all the bad stuff. You know, that I don't think anyone would say that Europe is this perfect political system, perfect social welfare everywhere. That there's obviously big mass unemployment, and I mean, he goes to Portugal and looks at their progressive drug laws, but you know, doesn't look at any of the other problems.
But
they might
but
have
it, you know, he did say all along he was picking the flowers, not the weeds. And you
that
know,
seems a bit like a cop out to me. if I'm being honest, I mean, it's like picking the flowers and not the weeds is too easy. It's an easy thing to do. You see the flower and you pick it and that's it, and you ignore the rest. I mean, why not try and kill the weeds as well? You know, it all just comes off a little bit weak. And
well, it's interesting. He says it's his angriest film yet, and yet it seems a little slapstick.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's easy to just say a film is your angriest film and try and inject it with some kind of purpose and meaning and gravitas. But I mean, I didn't really get that from watching it. It actually seemed his quaintest film, I would say. I mean, it's very light. And, while he's looking at the kind of positives from Europe, he also kind of counterpoints them with the negatives in America. And they just seem very, you know, he uses like news, you know, Fox News reports of gun crime and schools and things like that. And he kind of uses the same kind of media outrage to sort of bolster his ideas that he has kind of decried in previous films. So it all just feels a little bit kind of hasty and slapdash, and, you know, I didn't really feel I got much out of it.
Well, listeners, you can judge for yourself. Where to Invade Next is currently showing in the UK, Spain and Japan. It's available to buy on iTunes in the USA. We're sticking with documentaries for our second choice today and heading to Italy now for a film called Fire at Sea. This explores migration through the eyes of a 12-year-old boy and a doctor who live on the Mediterranean island of Lampedusa, where thousands of asylum seekers have arrived over the last two decades. The island, located between Sicily and North Africa, is home to a population of 6,000. But in the past 20 years or so, approximately 400,000 migrants have made it to their shores. It's a place where journalists often fly in only for short periods of time to document the latest disaster. But director Gianfranco Rossi immersed himself in the community for a full year, and Fire at Sea documents what he saw. Now, David, what kind of effect does this investment of time have on a film like this?
Oh, I mean, it just pays dividends, I think. I mean, you just see that this is a far more intricate, interesting, poetic film than it might have been if it was just a quick bit of reportage of someone who's kind of landed there looking for a story. I think what Gianfranco Rossi's done in this case is he's not gone to Lampedusa with an idea of a film, but he's gone there to let the island kind of tell him what the film is. And you know, he knew about the fact that there was this kind of refugee migrant issue with people in boats passing by, and I think that, I mean, he was asked to make the film with that in mind, but didn't necessarily go there just to make a kind of, you know,
voyeuristic
kind of political documentary about the reality of what's happening. I mean, what he does is the film he's made actually is more, it's more philosophical. It's more, what he does is he compares the kind of island life, he follows a kind of rural family, and within the rural family, he follows one boy named Samuel, who's a bit like a kind of Dennis the Menace figure. And he kind of counterpoints that with these kind of horrific instances with boats floating by the shore, picked up by the Coast Guard, often filled with the dead and dying, and who, you know, have fled from Libya and environs around there. It shows these two worlds not quite colliding. They're sort of geographically right next to each other. It's a tiny island with a small population, but they carry on with the things they do. They carry on fishing. They make dinner. They play. They go to the doctors. And just, you know, meters away, there is this kind of crisis happening right next to them, and they don't quite realize the gravity of it.
Again, I suppose this allows him access, trust, do you think?
Mm-hmm. What he wants is not so much to sort of gain trust from people and, you know, want to make, you know, make a film with them, but he kind of just wants to embed himself there and become part of their life. There's an amazing scene in the film where he just films them eating dinner over one long sequence, and it's, you know, he films them eating the whole meal, and he's just following the kind of nuances and the little kind of conversations they have about their lives. And you know, he's watching how they eat and the things they eat, and you kind of drew, you know, all the color of the room, and it's this really amazing kind of portrait of a family. And you just kind of think there's no way he would have been able to get that footage if he'd have just sort of swooped in and knocked on the door that day and said, "Can I film you eating?" Because I mean, there would have been, you know, self-consciousness and, you know, feeling that their privacy had been invaded. And you know, you kind of feel that he's become a member of their family, and he's become an islander.
And unconventional for a documentary, no interviews, no script per se.
Well, I mean, it depends how you define documentary. I mean, in more recent times, it's a form that's expanding in several different directions at the same time. And I think this is just a more kind of poetic, artful form of documentary rather than a doc like Where to Invade Next, which is more of an advocacy doc, and it's political and it's about making statements and bringing people onto your side and convincing people. This is a kind of film that it just shows you things and it lets you decide what you think
about
them.
So without a script, there's no real preaching, and in that way it's more powerful.
There's no preaching, but the message is quite implicit. You can see how horrible it is, but I think he's trying to make a bigger statement about, you know, how we experience other people's suffering, and how maybe it's hard to actually understand what other people go through. We have our own lives, we have our own concerns, and sometimes we can't deal with, you know, the concerns of other people, even though they might be fleeing from like an oppressive nation or something like that. It's a really, really strong film.
Well, Fire at Sea premiered at the Berlin International Film Festival back in February, where it won the Golden Bear Award. It's released in the UK and Ireland today and will show at the Sydney Film Festival and Singapore Arts Festival later this summer. Look out for further European release dates from July onwards. We're heading to Thailand now for our final film. It's a new drama by a legendary Thai director called Cemetery of Splendor. David, tell us a little bit about the director and set up the premise for the film.
The director's name is Apichatpong Wirasethakul. He allows people in the West to call him Joe because his name is kind of tough to wrap your tongue around. He kind of rose to notoriety in the sort of early 2000s and the late 90s. He just came out of nowhere, really, with this really kind of dreamy, arty cinema coming out of Thailand. Because of the sort of very, very stringent censorship there, his films were accepted more in Europe and the US, and very seldom actually shown in Thailand. He won the Palme d'Or in Cannes in 2010 for a film called Uncle Boomy, Who Can Recall His Past Lives. Yeah, this is his latest film, and it's very much of his kind of very dreamy mode of kind of experimental, ghostly, comic, lugubrious filmmaking, and it's just a film. It's kind of ambient and beautiful, and you just kind of lose yourself in it.
Well, we're going to have a little sampler of what that sounds like before we delve into the film a little more. Here is a clip from Cemetery of Splendor. A clip from the Thai movie Cemetery of Splendor. A very curious storyline. Can you illuminate us?
Well, it's hard. that's a tough question, actually. It's kind of, I mean, the very basic setup is that there's this nurse, a peg-leg nurse called Jen, who works in a kind of experimental nursing facility where she's treating Thai soldiers who have a kind of bizarre form of sleeping sickness. And she kind of sits with them and tends to them. And at one point they bring these bizarre kind of, they're almost like lava lamps. And there are long scenes of just these guys lying in bed with these lava lamps going up you know, going up and down beside them. And then the film kind of spins off, and it kind of takes in sort of urban legends, and it looks at the landscape, and it kind of imagines what had happened in the same place years before, and it kind of mixes in all these kind of local legends and people, you know, princes and, you know, royalty who have died. And the title Cemetery of Splendor is this, you know, the old kind of horror movie idea of something bad happens, then you realize that the house was built on a cemetery. This takes that exact same concept, but does it in a very kind of beautiful, dreamy and quite charming way. But it's just really sophisticated, and it's doing amazing, interesting things with narrative and characters and mixing worlds together. And it kind of glides in it. You know, you have scenes where like the present and the past exist at the same time, where someone is walking through a scene and interacting with something that you can't see. And it's just done in a really simple but evocative way. And he's just got this amazing way with cinema. You know, he just makes really interesting images and makes you really think about what he's trying to say, and He doesn't preach at all to you like Michael Moore does. Sorry to keep bringing Michael Moore back into this, but you know he's definitely, as you say, one of the greats.
Well, Summertime Splendor first screened at the Cannes Film Festival last year before hitting the festival circuit hard. It's out in the UK on June 17th. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, David Jenkins. And don't forget to tune into the cinema show tonight at 20:00 UK time when Ben Ryland will meet Sarah Guerra, the director of Embrace of the Serpent, nominated for an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time on Monday when we'll be talking art. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.